is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be troubled.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Cube Bellet, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Appreciate you guys tuning in as we are live here in the Madison RV Studios. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP. We've heard from a lot of you in reference to the NCAA model. The way in which college athletes should be compensated moving forward. This all circling around the FBI investigation that involves a lot of different college basketball coaches, players, NBA agents, runners, and we believe this is the tip of the iceberg. So if it's this ugly, this bad now, Tom Hart telling us earlier in the show, you can get that at umsports.com if you want to go download the podcast, that this was the talk of college basketball since late last week. And he was in Lexington over the weekend, and it was the topic of conversation everywhere he went then and there. How do we change it? How do we make it better? We ask your thoughts, your opinions, and if you want to call in, 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP. Cole, question of the day is also up. How would you change player compensation at the collegiate level? If you are looking, however, for some large equipment to do some work around your house or your construction site, check out our friends at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com, valleyequipmentrents.com. Website's easy to navigate. You're going to get an idea of products they have for sale, for rent, and what products that they have for rent. The obvious landscaping season's right around the corner with the weather warming up. It was beautiful this weekend. Excavators, backhoes, tractors, skid steers, bulldozers, they're all available. The Bobcats that you might need right there at Valley Equipment Rental. Go to valleyequipmentrents.com. Stop by South Memorial Parkway near Airport Road or call Ross and Tanner and the guys today, 256-964-6081.
You know, we've been talking about this a lot. And by the way, this is the football equivalent of if Alabama, Notre Dame, Michigan, plus, you know, Ole Miss, like what just happened with them, and, you know, Miami of Ohio. Like, if all of these schools at one time had something come out that they had major players get compensated very highly, or at least met with agents. So it's a big deal for the sport itself. And Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, by the way, former besties with Nick Saban, still are besties. At least goodies. I mean, at least good best friends. I bet they can be good best friends. Said that they should probably know more about this probe. Interesting timeline he gives, though.
I think that by the time we get to Selection Sunday, we'll have a much better handle on what's going on with the current students so that we have eligibility solutions, I hope, in place for those who are and aren't eligible, and everybody in the selection committee and the fans out there will know what's really going on.
Now, I would hope, by the way, by Selection Sunday, because, that's when the NCAA tournament is basically starting, so wouldn't you want to know some of these players that are being mentioned, whether or not they're going to be eligible? But another part of this is what Mark Emmert finds to be the most despicable about all of this.
Disappointing to me is those activities that strike at the fundamental issues of integrity. When you see an agent providing money to a coach to conduct a transaction with or without the knowledge of a student, but that's pretty despicable stuff. That's the stuff that we've got to root out of this and deal with in a completely different fashion.
And that's another aspect of this that hasn't gotten much discussion, is that We talk about, you know, Colin Sexton possibly and his family having dinner with an agent, and they paid for it, and that's the violation part of it. We talk about some of these players taking loans out and just in thoughts that the agent may sign them when they decide to go to the NBA. You know, let's not forget, there are coaches out there allegedly who took money to steer these guys to guys like Christian Dawkins and this Andy Miller agent. That's another part that the NCAA can hammer down on. I mean, it's hard for the NCAA to hammer down on certain agents. And it's hard for them to do certain runners and AAU system and blah, blah, blah. But when you got your coaches that you're being paid by the university, that's
especially
the part
when that coach essentially has a guaranteed contract even if he's fired for cause.
Yeah.
He's going to get $10 million if he's fired for cheating.
Yeah.
Why would you – where's your benefit to not cheat? Unless someone just has extremely high personal integrity and doesn't believe in it, like it seems as though Mark Fox at Georgia does, based on some of his comments over the weekend, why would he not cheat? Cheat to win. Go win. Go do what's best. Now, I don't know if his incentive may not be much higher to not cheat. I mean, what are his bonuses for making the Final Four, winning a national championship? It might not. He might be better off getting fired. I don't know.
And there are guys that are just bad dudes. There are guys that just make really bad decisions in moments with that. But those are the guys that you can't be employing. Those are the guys like apparently Chuck Parsons that you got to get rid of. And you say, you know what? If you're going to go outside your salary to make more money, I get you want more money, but this isn't the way to try to go get more money. And now you put the eligibility of one, maybe two of our players in jeopardy because of this. We won't have a full team because of this, despite what our record is going to be. But that's all after the fact. So the NCAA's got a big chore ahead of it. If, like Mark Emmer suggested, Saturday, about 26 hours, 28 hours after this report dropped on CBS, that they want to go back and take a look at some of these rules and rewrite some of these rules toward.
Did you think it was weird that he kind of singled out basketball?
I think
I understand that's what a lot of the discussion's around right now, but you're not going to come up with just basketball rules.
And you can to a degree. Like, they have the baseball and hockey rules as far as being able to do with an agent, but that's more because of when their draft is as opposed to just being a general rule. But I think it's because the questions were leading him towards it, because they were all talking about Sean Miller in Arizona, and I believe, what's his name, Seth Davis? Is that the other guy that was on that panel?
Yes.
It's Clark Kellogg, Gumbel, and I think it was Seth Davis, who was basically asking, why are you letting the FBI do your job for you? Well, I mean, they're all leading him towards this whole only basketball scenario,
right.
And he tried to say at one point it's not just about... It's about the amateurism aspect of it. But
it's an easy response. The FBI has the capabilities to do my job for me. I don't.
And that's why
I can't wiretap phones.
Yeah, he doesn't have wiretaping cabinet.
I mean, I can't go get cell phone text message conversations. Sorry.
And unless you work for a university, I can't make you talk to me. Or at least make you show up to a meeting. And that's the part that I think is so disheartening about all of this is... If you want to change the rules, that's fine. I get it. But you have to worry about one thing when you change the rule, and one thing only. How do you punish those who break the rules? That's the only thing you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be most of the people are going to go through the right way and do it the right way and get paid the amount they're supposed to get paid and do the amateurism with the Olympic model where you can use your likeness, blah. And they probably won't be allowed to use, you know, the Alabama A or whatever. Most of the people are going to do it the right way. But how do you punish those who break the rules?
It's a great question.
And the NCAA doesn't have any real way to do that, especially. And this is why, this is the only reason I would lean towards you, Cole, in all of your statements you've made today about not paying the guys. Is that if you start bringing that in, who's policing the new bodies in the building? You already don't have enough to police the ones who you're supposed to be over. Who's policing the ones that you're now letting to come in? Who's policing the new money? Or at least the new above-table money? Who's policing that? How are you going to, first of all, you're going to try to give more responsibility to these compliance offices, which is already difficult for them. And secondly, how do you then punish those who you do eventually find out breaking the rules? And how do you figure out about it real time, not 4 years after the fact?
It almost feels like whether it's allowing players to deal with agents or, like you're mentioning, policing new money bodies, so to speak, around your facility, you have to have a guy at every school. Every school is going to have sort of an agent, liaison, probably a licensing director. Each school is going to have a licensing department and a director of licensing. So,
probably.
Hey, Trump would probably like it. It would create more jobs. Good. Yeah. NCAA is not going to like it because more people are going to have to get paid. But you're going to have sort of a director of licensing coordinator at every school to just help manage what's going on. And you're going to have to rely on the kids to say, if you do something, you have to let us know about it. And even if you do it by the book, but you don't tell us, there's a potential that you could miss a game or miss a half, something. Because, again, like you're saying, you're going to have to strictly adhere to what's put in place or else it's going to just run rampant. I want to go ahead and go to 10 after tweets because we have so many people responding to this. 866-485-9867 if you do want to get into the show.
Bring me the tweet!
Chris Crow tweets in, how much are the checks the players get now? I see them in new cars, new clothes, traveling everywhere. So how much are they getting? I mean, it's all over social media. I don't think there's a Power 5 school that's getting less than $1,000 a month in cost of attendance. Now, keep in mind, that's after a scholarship check. If you live on campus, that means your room and board is paid for and your meals at certain establishments on campus are paid for. I think now most schools give you a card that's loaded with a certain amount of money and you can go eat. Because schools have Chick-fil-A, schools have, you know, Sbarro, whatever, on campus. So you can just use your ID to go pay. It's paid for there. We used to just have to go to Sewell Hall. That was our only option that we had. A lot different now. I mean, Auburn's got their wellness kitchen, which I think kids can go to like all over the place. I mean, anytime, 24/7. And you can go in there and tell them what you want to eat, and they'll make it for you. Poor kids. Nathan Hathaway.
That's not what Reggie Ragland said. He deleted it.
Listen, if you got a kid, if you got an Alabama football player that's starving at night, I need to know who it is because Scott Cochran deserves 1,000 times more credit than he's getting. If he's taking starving athletes into what I see on the field, he's incredible. Maybe, he's a miracle worker.
Maybe Reggie thinks they were starving, but this was Scott Cochran's way to make clear they don't get fat.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see what they're doing. They should have had this around with Terrence Cody was playing. I see what you're doing.
Nathan Hathaway, he actually screenshots his notepad, does a nice job of cropping it, by the way. I don't know what service he has or if his battery's dying or what time it is.
So he says, more than a tweet. That's what's happening.
It is. Create a, quote, trust fund for athletes, allowing them to be compensated for a percentage of revenue generated and likeness/memorabilia sales. Do not require it to be distributed evenly across all sports players. Give players allowance per month for personal use, family needs. Allow players to submit requests for emergency withdrawal. Family illness and surgery. Players receive full amount upon graduation. Incentives players to stay all 4 years instead of leaving early. Yeah, basketball players are going to sit around for a percentage of that when they can go to the NBA after 1 year. Sure.
I will tell you this. The one thing I do like is the...
By the way, give players allowance per month. I just told you they're getting over $1,000 a month. Quote, unquote, allowance / stipend / cost of attendance.
Well, there's two things. I wanted to address the tweet before, which is I've seen the kids all over the place in new cars. 2013s look pretty good still. 2012s still look pretty good.
Hey, and some kids' families just have money. That's a real thing.
That is true. And plus, by the way, you don't have to outright buy a Dodge Challenger. You can lease one. You can get it, pay a little bit of a down payment, and still have to make payments. So that's still out there. Also, I like the incentivizing for people who stay long-term. If we ever to think about this sort of as possibly, and I'll take away the scholarship offer that I was thinking about earlier. Let's say that you're going to give a guy as a freshman, he comes in flat $50,000 if he completes all of his coursework on time. So like 25 per semester. What if in basketball and in football, it increases every year you're there? So it encourages guys to stay in school, not drop out. B, it encourages guys to obviously stay longer if they can. And C, worst case scenario, they have a little bit of seed money at the end of the, their
how,
life.
So how? What is your form of compensation? Straight salary? But if you don't want to call it a salary, you're just giving them a monthly stipend, $10,000 a year, something like that.
For instance, like at the end of the semester, they do all their grades right. They maintain eligibility. You have a certain number of credit hours you have to get to go to be a sophomore, junior, so far. If you do that, then you just get cut a check.
It sounds nice, but I want you to just think about the Leonardo Carsons of the world, who are one grade away from receiving $10,000, $15,000, $20,000,
mm-hmm.
and that teacher's not going to bump them 2 points from a D to a C.
Listen, I understand.
It's a very limited situation. I get it, yeah. But you're going to have a lot of student athletes who are a grade or two away from a large sum of money, and that equates. Oh, they'll go to the teacher and say, "Hey, bump me 2 points, and I'm getting $10,000. I'll give you two."
I mean, there are a lot of kids
I now. I need that check.
There are a lot of kids now who...
What's wrong with me that every solution that people present, I immediately think of the most corrupt possibilities that could come from it?
Well,
why does my brain work that way?
Because your favorite show is The Wire. I get it, so I understand. that and Breaking Bad, you're really into the dark stuff. I get it. I understand that can happen. But there are kids now who are close, and there are teachers who are football fans who say, maybe that 59 is a 64. You know, maybe that there are guys that are close enough to be able to give them a very low C to keep them eligible. Maybe a D keeps them eligible. Right? I don't know how college works anymore. But, you know, it's not to say that that can't happen, but that's where there's got to be academic accountability, too. And we got to at some point, we're going to have to trust people. We have to trust people. Like, look, the speed limit's 55, but I go 65. Don't pull me over. Every time when I leave this office.
So we should just listen to Bobby Barnett, who tweets in at Cube Show, cheating will still happen regardless of compensation. Yeah, probably. In some instances.
It will, but it's not a reason not to make change. It's still 55 when I get out on 72. But if I go 65, that's my own risk. And if I get pulled over, guess who shouldn't be mad at the system? Me, even though I still will be. Because I just told everybody not to pull me over.
Bobby Barnett tweets, pay them grade point average, and that will emphasize education and bust the professors for fixing grades. No, it will probably convince professors to cheat more and give them grades, because mm-hmm. then they're going to be helping guys make money who will probably give them kickbacks in the form of tickets, autographs, or just cash. I'm telling you, it's just not... I don't believe in... the reward, the cash for reward basis model of grades and school and whatnot. I think you're asking for a lot of problems
maybe not for the GPA.
I did like the one part of what you said in that. Okay, let's say, and again, from a Title IX perspective, this could most likely never happen. But if you said, when you sign your scholarship, you're going to get a $10,000, we'll make it an even number, $12,000 a year stipend. So you get a $1,000 check from the NCAA or the SEC or whatever day one, on the first of the month, every month. If you stay here until your sophomore year, you'll get $1,200 a month. Your third year, your junior year, I guess you have to do it by calendar year because kids finish school early, mm-hmm. whatever. Your third year in school, you're going to get $16,000 a month. And if you stay 4 years, your fourth year, you're going to get $2,000 a month. Then whatever.
You go back to 1,000 because clearly you weren't good enough to go pro.
Well, but...
I got you. I'm with you. I'm
that helps. That is fair, unquote. It's fair, quote, unquote, because we all want everything to be fair, right? So the kids who can go make a ton of money... Yeah, the kids who can go make a ton of money in the NFL, we're helping you do what you're not able to do. So we're going to help you make money. Because Tequila Spikes can go make money, but Cole Kubrick's not good enough to go make that mm-hmm. money. So we're going to help him. We're going to pat him on the ass mm-hmm. and give him a little check.
Yeah.
Make you feel better about yourself.
Your hand motions are very
interesting. Me, poo-poo, wee-wee. Let's do that. It's just... Ah!
But, again, at some point, we'll just have to trust people. Because if not, then the whole system is corrupt. Then everything is corrupt. And if you want to believe what North Carolina did, sure. They got off scot-free for giving away fake classes. Apparently because they were trying to make us believe that everybody had access to fake classes. Regardless of all of that, this is not, we are not robots. We are all people.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to put this in the hands of people that we hope will make the right decisions. Will they? No. Murder still happens. speeding still happens. People still steal from the supermarket. It all still happens, but that's not a reason for there not to make to be some kind of adjustment. Let me just ask you this broader question. Do you think, just on a broader, just a broader spectrum here, do you think that the NCAA should make changes to its model?
I'll say this.
Nothing specific yet, but just do you think that there should be some type of change when it comes to regard to the fairness or the equitableness or just the compensation of especially the revenue-generating sports, regardless how equal it can be? Played football. You didn't. You weren't there when all the billions were there for TV, but now that it is.
I'm open for change. I'm open for kids to get a little bit more. But my real life answer to that is I don't think the NCAA is going to have a choice.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Legally, they're going to have to do something, or this is going to get really bad really fast.
Even if it just starts off with, here's a bit of pool money we put at the end of you graduating. This is what you're entitled to after you graduate. Even if it starts with something like that, like when you graduate, Every year that you're still here and you're eligible, you will have blank, blank, blank until you withdraw. So if it's $5,000 a year, you will leave, if you graduate in the 4 years, or go to grad school, which is not a bad thing, $25,000. And that's yours upon actual graduation.
At Bama Bob 2014 tweets, these kids aren't eating ramen every night. They're probably eating better than myself. Daryl Foster tweets, we provide welfare for disenfranchised. Why not provide similar support for college students using athletic talents to improve their future? Hashtag Cole question of the day. They do. It's called Pell Grants. Google that. At Golfer6012 tweets, no compensation. Create minor league system for football and basketball. Those have failed for the most part.
XFL's back next year. Or the year after that.
Andrew Husbeth tweets, profit share amongst all sports. Donations from boosters may be made as part of compensation or just to go towards future projects/salaries. Charles Kramer tweets, stop forcing kids to go to college. That will remove a good portion of the problems because the kids there want to be there. No one's forcing any of these kids to go to college, by the way. I have not heard of a student athlete that was held against his will to be a collegiate athlete.
Technically, you are right, but realistically, you are not right. They can't go to the NFL straight off of an assembly line when they get out the factory if they waited 3 years.
At JLay12 tweets, okay, pay them, but go ahead and pull the full scholarship and let them pay a portion of their education with their earned income like everybody else. Can't have it all.
I'm interested in that discussion. I can't fathom.
I mean, now you're going to have accountants on board as well. You need to hire an accountant full-time. Because I want to see Robert Baker, Leonardo Carson doing their taxes every year. I want to see that. So now you're going to have college kids having to deal with tax evasion laws.
Why taxes?
If they're employees, they're going to be taxed.
Oh, you mean, okay. Well, listen. I don't do my own taxes. Actually, I do. But I do a very simple form. I don't make that much money. I still wouldn't make that much money, apparently, once we won't play these people, these players. But I am very interested in the remove the scholarship part of the conversation, only because it then removes, I believe, the pure amateurism aspect.
Auburn GC tweets, I get your argument about players, but it seems weird that you have not expressed problems with exploding coaching salaries and AD expenditures that aren't related to the academic side. Amateurism is a great concept. What the NCAA is doing isn't hardly amateur athletics, though. It still sort of boggles my mind that people continuously want to compare college athletes to professionals out in the world and say that that should be on the same scale.
Yeah.
I mean, does Auburn GC complain about what the CEO of Exxon's making? and the CEO of Google and the CEO of BP?
No, but that's because his employees are compensated. Like, and not with this imaginary education thing, which I get. It's not completely
but
imaginary.
But I feel like a lot of the people
because
who...
Because it's not tangible, I don't think people want to give it the credit for what it is.
I feel like a lot of the people who want to go to this just pay them route and open up the floodgates, they literally don't want college football anymore. They just want another professional league. But, you're essentially asking for another professional league.
But no one will ever look at it that way. No one will ever look at Auburn football and think that's a semi-pro team. Or we'll look at Tennessee and say that's a semi-pro team.
If you're legally buying players, we're going to get to that. It's going to get to that. It's weird to me that no one wants to try and find a solution to this that will help historically the model that made this what it is. Everyone's just shoving pay them. And once you begin to do that, you only get further away. Maybe I'm get off my lawn guy here, but no one seems very concerned about preserving the greater good of the sport. I'm not saying athletes shouldn't be compensated at all. I'm not saying they don't deserve anything. I am not for this. Let's rip off the Band-Aid of what has been holding them back of being paid for so long and say, here it is. The dam is down. The floodgates have been opened to your lottery, college football and basketball player. Have at it. But it is odd to me that so many out there who have benefited so greatly off collegiate athletics have no regard for attempting to preserve what has made everything about it great and what got us to where we are today. No one seems to give a damn about any of that. It's just pay them now, figure the rest out later.
But, you know, you realize part of that's because the system has changed so drastically.
I get that. But
there's been such an influx of money. Listen, the reason Nick Saban gets paid that much money is partly because
the school makes that much money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a direct correlation. So...
Nick Saban's a professional that earned his way there. He didn't make that much money at Kent State. He didn't make that much money as a DC for the Browns. Like, why are people so mad about someone who professionally has worked their way to get to where they are, and they're pissed off that an 18-year-old football player doesn't make the same thing? Well, like, my brain doesn't correlate that.
That part I'm with you, but it seems to be that the only thing that we're allocating for the students is a very modest sum of money. I mean, it sounds like an egregious amount of money when you talk about possibly $10,000 a year or a semester. If it's two semesters, that's 20 grand. I am happy to say I make over 20 grand a year, so I would be making more than a college football player. Don't get too much higher, though. Chris is on the line. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning? Cole, calm down your blood pressure.
I'm good. I'm fine.
I totally agree with you, Cole. These players... I tweeted in and asked you how much the players got, you know, a month or their stipend checks or, you know, after scholarship, whatever. I don't think these players are hurting. I don't think they should be paid, period. I mean, I personally think they're getting enough as it is right now. I think a lot of this is so funny when you see, like, Jay Billis or Stephen A. Smith or any of these guys that talk about the evil NCAA and then they – lick these coaches up and down talking about how great they are and everything. And I'm sitting there thinking, that just doesn't make sense. Because basically, if the NCAA is evil, if the school that's a part of the NCAA, doesn't that mean that the school is evil too for exploiting these young men and making millions of dollars off of them? Yet I never hear Jay Billis or any of these people talk about how evil Duke is and how evil Coach K is for being a quote-unquote slave master and all those things. I get so tired of this back and forth. I tell you what, just pay them, and then when the NCAA basketball players and the NCAA football players are the only ones making money, then what's going to happen to the other sports whenever they're asking for their piece of the pie? Well, then all of a sudden the coaches' salaries are going to have to drop and the coaches are going to be pissed at that and they're going to be leaving and going to the NFL where they're, you know, really compensated well. It just, it's a trickle-down effect that I agree with you, Cole. I don't think people think through. You need to think it through before you start being so critical. And especially if you're going to be critical, why don't you have the damn solution solved already? You know, go ahead and give us an answer so we can put your idea into place. It just gets so old and played out. I'm so sick of it.
Plus, Chris, do you
don't want to play college sports? Don't go to college to play sports.
Right.
Do something else.
Chris, do you?
Thanks, guys.
Chris.
No, go ahead.
Chris, do you know who makes the rules of the NCAA? The schools.
You know, I'm sure there's a governing body within the NCAA that makes the rules. I try to watch college sports.
I'm telling you, Chris.
Instead of worrying about a bunch of bureaucracy.
I'm giving you the answer. The answer is the schools. The schools make the rules the NCAA has to follow.
Then I guess the schools are the evil parties then, right?
Well,
I mean, I'm agreeing with you,
by the way.
I just get so tired of it. It's just a played out argument. If you don't want to go there to be exploited, don't go. Do something else. Or go straight to the NFL from high school. See if they'll pass that rule. And then when the first player we see gets destroyed and that happens, then what's it going to be?
No, go sign with an agent and work out for 3 years. And let the agent pay for it and pay you.
Not realistic. I don't know why people keep doing that.
I'm so tired of it. Cole,
Jeremy Johnson just signed with an indoor league. Go play for that league.
Fix that.
Sure. But there is no answer, guys. It's like a vicious cycle that just eats itself over and over and over again, and it just never ends. I just get tired of it. I mean, do you guys not get tired of it all the time?
I don't.
It's crazy. And by the way, the one thing that's going to be the answer, and I hate to say this,
Jesus,
but the one thing that would be the answer is go ahead and let the players unionize. And then we'll see how much.
Northwestern tried.
Yeah.
Northwestern tried.
Thank you, Chris. Good stuff.
A player or a team
is going to sit out soon at some point in time. It's going to happen.
That's the next part. And we'll get to Arizona Jay in just a second.
And depending on the scope of what they do it before or for,
well,
is going to depend on how powerful it
remember
is.
Remember when... Because
if Grand Valley State sits out a conference tournament team, no one cares.
Remember when... what's his name? Was it Kimball Walker? No. Who was the UConn player who said that we're starving?
I don't remember his name, but that was after Kimball Walker.
Ago, yeah. Said that they were the
Daniel Marshall's the only other one I can think of, and he was before Kimball Walker.
He said they were, and they said they'll change the rules. What happens if what happens if Purdue sat out the NCAA tournament game? Like the players just decided without the coach, we're not playing.
What round?
Opening round. First game.
I don't think it's as impactful. Now, it's going to be a huge story and huge news.
It'd be huge.
But they're going to advance the next team and say, tough for you. You guys made that choice. Go home. Championship game, completely different deal. Because that hurts mega TV ratings.
Now, it would. But there's the scale of, like, there's the scale of it. I agree with you. But if you get a team to, say, sit out very important that would cost this their university possibly
maybe Elite Eight, because there's only two games on each day, right? There's two Saturday, two Sunday. Yeah. That's a big ratings grab right there. That's going to hurt. Not as bad, but if you get a one game setting, you get a one game, one night setting, and one team sits out, it's over. That's immediate change. That's immediate blockbuster deal that's going to happen somehow, some way.
Before we go to the break, let's go to Arizona Jay hanging out. What's up, Jay?
How you doing? How are you?
Good. Great.
I think there are a whole bunch of things that could be changed, even short of being paid. I think when you look at the amateurism, the baseball model works better for me. Let them be drafted coming out of high school if they want to. They don't make it, don't sign with the league, then they got to stay to their junior year. I think that will have an impact. I think when you also look at transfer rules, that would help, because coaches can move and bounce around as much as they want to and find the situation that's most beneficial to them, and the kids can't. So I think changing the transfer rules would help. And if there's going to be a limit, if people say that, you know, scholarships have value and so forth, and they're already being compensated, well, scholarships have limitations. There's only so much in scholarship money, only so much in stipend money that they get for cost of attendance. But the coaches aren't limited that way. Coach salary doesn't have any limits. Coaches get bonuses for performance that's not necessarily their performance. So I think there needs to be, you know, something that the kids get the same thing. And then when you tie it all together and kids can't even profit off of their own likeness and the schools can, that's another thing that's just fundamentally flawed. Now, I think there are a lot of things short of just pure pay that can be done to reform the whole of college football, basketball, all of it. And I think they need to look at it in that way, not just how much do we pay them or how do we pay them, but just a full-fledged, let's start from scratch and look at how this model is set up today and reform it again from the beginning. Because it's not what it was when you played Cole. It's not what it was 35 years ago. And people want to pretend like it is. And I think that's where the inherent unfairness is in all of this.
I agree that there should be some reform. I wouldn't argue that.
What's your name?
Derek.
Derek. I got your name wrong before. I just wanted to give you props for a good call, man. Appreciate it.
866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP. We're only 15 minutes past our break, so we'll get to it now.
We're
but close. There are a lot more responses coming in via Twitter. We'll discuss those, trying to read as many as we can. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730. 103.9 The Ump. 866-485-9867 if you want to get in. Talk
ball.
NCAA player compensation. At JJ WorldStar tweets in, Echo Cubic, Shabazz Napier was the hungry
Shabazz
player.
Shabazz Napier, you're right. Shabazz Napier is 100% right. And he was the one, after they're winning all the games, he's saying, yo, I'm hungry. It's like, all right, well, go get a sandwich now. Because we changed those rules.
Well, and Reggie Ragland tweeted over the weekend that, you know, he had similar situations when he was at Alabama. And, you know, some might be surprised by that. The tweet has since been deleted, but
apparently pretty quickly, too.
That was his thoughts.
He was there before that rule was changed. A rule was changed right after that to basically allow unlimited snacks and cream cheese on the bagels. That was an extra benefit.
His tweet read, everybody hates the rules of the NCAA. I went to school with dudes in Alabama who damn near starved at night sometimes. I'm not going to pretend like I believe it, but that's Reggie Ragland's opinion. He was there. He saw it. So I think probably have a fair discussion of money management at that point, but that's a topic for a different day.
If we're going to we can't make a rule to make everyone happy.
No.
We can make a rule that will fit almost every scenario, but there are going to be the outlying scenarios. Will guys go hungry because they spend all their money on video games?
Yep.
Or maybe instead they spent too much money eating out as opposed to putting some back at the house so you could cook something later? Yeah, but I dealt with that too out of college. You know, I dealt that where I would spend much more money going out to restaurants as opposed to when it's time for the final, but the end of the month for me to get paid, I was a little hungrier and eating a lot more ramen than I wanted to eat because I wasn't responsible with my money or my Pell Grant for these guys. So.
Mark Torrance tweets, I hope that Alabama compensates all of our student athletes handsomely under the table since they're forbidden from doing so over the table.
I hope they do.
Jordan Patterson quotes that tweet, former Alabama softball player, and tweets, unpopular opinion. They are compensated in the form of a free education, free meals provided by the university, a monthly check, character development, and endless employment opportunities upon graduation that they would not have for being an athlete. Now, you can make fun of some of that, but a lot of it's very real.
I'm on the side, if I haven't made clear, that I think the athletes should be able to get something, especially the revenue-generating ones, which is... Again, we weren't going to solve this in one day. But I don't want to be on the side to say that an education that's paid for is invaluable. I guess it is
also,
invaluable. It
but
does
I'm,
pay for itself over time. That a free education, I still got like 50 grand left on student loans.
Well, I think I think it's good that she adds other things because one of the more tired arguments that I see is, well, they're worth more than a scholarship. We're talking about a scholarship. They're playing for a scholarship. If you are against this whole deal and you think athletes should be paid and the floodgates should be open and you think that it's realistically just about a scholarship, then you should exit stage left. Excuse yourself from the debate. If you think that this all this is about is literally a kid having his tuition and books paid for, stop it. Stop. It's much more than that from the player's perspective nowadays. With the amount of tutelage that they're receiving, the advantages that they have in school, enrolling for classes before regular students, the advantages in classes that they're able to take, the times in which they're able to take classes, the gear that they're receiving, the training that they're receiving, the food that they're receiving at times that other students are not allowed to receive it or have to pay for it. There are a lot more that goes into it than just, oh yeah, go to the bookstore and pick up your books. Yeah, you don't have to pay for tuition. Much, much more to that. Fantasy Leatherheads tweets, a very select few get paid, and if you read up on the FBI probe at all, we're kind of making a big deal about it. The average student-athlete isn't getting too much of anything, especially if they aren't on full ride. I'll be honest, I don't even know where the hell that's going or what he's trying to say, because it's just, yeah.
No, I wanted this discussion because I wanted us to find some type of starting ground, which is whether or not you believe that the system is flawed and could use some adjustments, not completely blowing up. I don't like the whole blowing up idea. We still need some of the rules. For instance, cream cheese should still be an option on bagels. That's all I'm saying. But you do have to have a starting point, and the starting point has to be, is this enough? Is this enough based on what has changed? Because we cannot stay with the current model, I believe, because the way have things have changed. So should this number be, and we also have to forecast in the future a little bit too. There's a lot of money in there now, but we may be forecasting in 30 years, will the money have dried up? Will these contracts for TV be nearly what they are?
That's kind of why I was saying no one is taking the side of let's ensure that we create a way to preserve the greater good, which is the sport in general. It will not always be what it is now. So this cash grab mentality sounds good for today, but like you mentioned, is that going to be realistic? Is it going to be realistic? And people are going to get mad at this, I get it, but is it going to be realistic to give kids $10,000 a year, $20,000 a year? Mm-hmm. So then your guys will come in and say, well, that's why you make it free enterprise. You let them go get whatever they can get. Let them get it on their own. Which, to me, if you're going to do it, is beginning to seem like the only real way to make it work. And like we talked about earlier, there are going to be some Title IX affected athletes, some non-profit, non-revenue-generating sport athletes. They're going to be able to make a lot of money for different reasons. I mean, there are different – now, I do think that one thing that, and I saw Tom Hart responding to somebody via Twitter about his conversation on the show earlier about, look at Tom Brady's wristband wearing Nike, or if Nike wants to pay a kid to be on a billboard, he should be able to do that. The apparel deals that are already in place at schools might become problematic.
Yes.
Because if you're at Auburn and you're playing football and Nike wants to offer you a deal, that kid's going to be really mad that he's not able to go get 10, 15, 20, 100 grand from that Nike deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And those apparel deals are way too big to squash for one or two players.
And
ain't happening.
Let's also think, again, we got to think big picture when we want to make these. That I think a modest sum is fair. Modest could be the 10 grand a semester or something.
They're already
modest,
getting it, though. Auburn kids are getting $1,500 a month.
Hold on. We also have to consider what happens if they did get a modest sum. These universities' athletic departments, whether or not we like it, have become and are businesses. You know what businesses don't like doing? Losing money. You know who's going to pay for that 15 to 20 grand for a person? You are. You're going to pay. Ticket prices will go up. Concession prices will go up. These places will try to find a way to recoup some of that money. Do you think Alabama wants to go from bringing in $150 million to bringing in $91 million?
No, probably not.
They're going to try to find a way, and not that it would take $60 million to feed everybody like I'm talking about, but if there is by the time this waters down and it gets figured out, a precipitous drop in what University of Alabama is bringing in, they'll make that up some way else. It may not cost you Wi-Fi to go at Plainsman Park.
Cam Walker tweets, I don't hear a lot of discussion on how we account for Title IX and paying athletes. In your model, you would have to. In your model, you can't just pay
football and
basketball.
Well, part of my model, again, my perfect model would take away scholarships, basically. I would start with that because we're getting into killing the bird for no reason. But you would have to pay Title IX because Title IX is a part of the NCAA. You can't take away that. That's why a modest sum is the only way you can go. If you're going to do this across the board, you have to consider Title IX. And unless Title IX gets repealed, which, by the way, it ain't, then you are not going to be able to do this. Unless football as a whole and basketball as a whole says, we're not going to be regulated by the NCAA anymore. We're going to secede, so to speak, as an entire sport. And then now you don't have to worry about Title IX. But that's never going to happen, at least not while we're watching the games.
It might. Let me ask you this.
In the next 50 years, you see that happen in the entire sport?
You've heard me debate, and we might have to wait until tomorrow to really get into this. You've heard me say for a long time that the tectonic shift, the continental shift of the Power Five pulling away is coming soon. Do you think this whole debate, this whole argument, makes that much closer? Because most of the Power Five would be able to manage this and handle this in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
They would be able to say, okay, we'll give you X amount a semester, X amount a year, a percentage of this. Group of Five can't do it. There are Group of Five teams that lost money last year, athletic departments.
They can't
afford to pay 150 athletes.
They can't afford consistently to do the stipend now, like you're talking about. They can't. Of course it's going to change. Of course it's going to change. There's no way for it not to.
So could the Power Five pull away and just say, no more NCAA football? You can control basketball, baseball, hockey, fishing, whatever, but you don't manage our football anymore.
They kind of do that when they talk about a championship. NCAA doesn't control
that. That's the reason I think it could happen. Now, basketball, NCAA owns March Madness and owns the tournament, so
it's harder.
Tough to get around that. Great discussion today. Enjoy Tom Hart, Andy Staples, Joel Cordes, Chris Stewart. We're back tomorrow. Barrett Slee, Mike Griffith, Fred Siegel.